Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the fireside chatters, cooking over an old steel barrel in an alley not far from home. Good evening to mosquito swamp hunters, to cow merchants, the pigs that can fly. It's Wednesday, that's hump day for people who have a job. Currently, I am unemployed, but I might have work within a week or two. Lots of things are moving and shaking where I live on the Olympic Peninsula, but it's right around 8 p.m. It's hump day, Wednesday, and you know, it is. What is it? It's still April the 30th, 2025, Boblimp Doc, 5 and 25. Yeah, I don't want to go there. But I hope you guys are having a good evening, because wherever you are, you're not going to be any place else. You can't go home from where you're at. There ain't no place to go. I'm going to talk to you about MegaCorp. Currently, Doge has taken money from AmeriCorps to create something called MegaCorp. You can join MegaCorp if you have a mega fist. You can join MegaCorp if you got power and piss. Do you have the gumption? Do you have the chutzpah? You can join MegaCorp, buddy, and you can take it on. But you gotta grab it, right? Is it nailed down? Go and grab it. Is it too big to move? Go grab a friend. Call him an oligarch. Call it a national park. Call the whole thing a national endowment. Grab it. Take it. Get things. That's MegaCorp. Is the ownership nebulous? Then it's probably yours. If you and your oligarch friends get there first, right, Boris? Is it easier to fix than create? Who cares? How do you get rid of 20 million illegal aliens? That's a math problem, and we don't do math in America any longer, so who cares? You going to space? Sure, buddy. That's our room full of computers. If you know, you know. Can we do this better than Gorbachev did? Sure, we have the Dorito Bandito Country Fried Frito in charge. Papa Glump Pump is your Yazoo Yeltsin with putrid fire churros and lost Ginktus to sell near the overpass near the fruit guy. The National Forests and Parks, according to MegaCorp, are set to burn. So we will sell the timber and the land and the water and all of the birdies. We will learn to eat sand so that swells can get mega and the rest of us can beat fucking bricks. Your Sir Lancelot has the clap, and no one has shots unless you mean tequila. The stones are hot, the will of biscuit cider, and the wired scumbags are lurking near the mule parlor. Gas station the table, Arco station the table, Chevron to table will be the new farm to table, will be the new organic farming. Mold will grow on your exposed flesh, you'll eat it. Robot mosquitoes carrying an mRNA vaccine will generate tumors on your body that will become ready to eat cheeseburgers in a bun, you'll eat it. All that from a bite at the gas station to table. Comrade, if you want that new flashing shit, then some cows will get exploding monkey herpes. Some chickens, some milk and cheese from the cheese cave. Probably a lot will go missing, Mega. If it's not nailed down, if your traders give you a frown, if you want that new big screen and you don't want your people to get mean, a cow is gonna have to explode. That's Megacore. Yes, indeed, the hobos will have Bic lighters. And they're the reason why you've got the zombie fires. It's the why the peat is a flame. Ignore the methane. Right, buddy? It's all in the plan. All ahead of BLM Antifa at the mayor's office. Already approved for new building. Just rinse and repeat. The same fake bullshit. Until the divorce attorney arrives, that's Mega too. Watch out for falling debris from the food processing plant. Make sure to put on your coffee filter first, though. Then you can join Megacore, and Scott Adams will be your Bunganut Buttmaster Fuhr Guggen Poop Warrior. Can you feel the Mega as you meditate on who was president during the 2020 monkey fuck? When I was diagnosed with HIV, I didn't know who I would be. But then some demon shoved Vic Tardy in my mungot soup, and now I'm herpes clear. Do you want to go eat some raw bat to make magical viruses that do ravage Lombardy, Italy, but don't impact tens of thousands in Little Saigon, Seattle? Just random. Ignore Brownian motion. Weird magical viruses, time travels, little propellers. Yeah. I am the magical hobo that can go to the hospital with my Medicaid card. No monkey herpes test, no monkey herpes vaccine, nobody monkey herpes cared. I got surgery right around the time of the COVID, buddy. It was weird because I just read that story about that kid who was denied a transplant because they wouldn't take the vaccine. It was a really sad article in the newspaper, right next to the one about the cows that exploded. I am the magical dude in Seattle, August 2020. The Guardian paper said a building right in view across the street had caught fire. Now, in fact, a dumpster did catch fire. But the Guardian, being accurate journalist and fuck, said a building had caught fire. That's a little bit of a mishap. But people want to LARP the bullshit. They want to play pretend. Right to the bitter end, until the divorce attorney gets here. To be Mega, you need to dose yourself with massive amounts of CIA LSD and then build a time machine out of cardboard, out of old styrofoam, out of used dried out condoms, Mega Man. A Megacore service member can coax the cock casket beam leaders into picking up stone and pipe and chain. They will gain next level spirit offerings as prelude to the Hopi's fifth world. Dance with your cocaine bride. Dance with your cocaine bride, Mega Man, like it's Moscow 1995. They chide you, the CIA minders, as money gets fundled, as nukes get taken by the trustworthy people of Langley. And then Vladimir waits in the wings, right? Because Boris was the thing you needed, and Vladimir was the cure that was ready-made. Mega Man achieves total victory against the confinements of standards and morals every time. You see that thing over there, just laying there on the ground, that mound of flesh? you see that dog, Megacorps service member, back the blue, turn it into red goo. And hit that ground rolling, buddy. Never spoiling for a real fight, just having fun scaring the pores. Don't worry about why people in Seattle buy air conditioners, why people in Port Angeles buy air conditioners. Don't even ask the fucking question. I don't care if you thought the sky over Port Angeles was blue today. I don't really give a fuck about your internal fucking issues. Most of you are younger than me. Oh, I don't know. My audience is older, angrier. I'm preaching to the choir. But what I can tell you is whatever color it was, it's not the deep blue sky. But of greater interest is, why the fuck do people in Western Washington ever, in the last 10,000 years, hiccup, need air conditioners? And that's not linear. That's not continuous. That's technically not gradual on a historic scale. Why the fuck do you need an air conditioner in Port Angeles? But you know what? That's an uncomfortable question. And whereas Megacorp people, we gotta be, can pick up whatever's on the ground, we don't want to pick up on the frequency. And if we do know, we're not going to tell. Because what good is it to Temple Grandin, the cow, or the guy working in the slaughterhouse, to explain to the cow what's about to happen? The purpose of that design, and Temple knows, is so that nobody knows when it happens. Just watch a movie. Your aunt made pie. You don't need to know that Mr. McGibbicuddy is coming over to talk to your moms and dads. Just eat the pie and watch the fucking movie and play pretend until the divorce lawyer shows up. That's what a mega man's good at. Don't worry about the nearly bug-free windshields. It's pole shift. It's the aliens. What did that sheepdog tell you on U-boobs? Remember back in 2018 when Papa Blump admin said a couple interesting things? They said the Arctic is open for business, A, and B, there's never been more Arctic ice. Mega Man can keep those two thoughts in his head, having been part of or read towards that Orwellian processor. He can keep double think and maintain it, but I can tell you, one of those things can be true. As you spill that white Christmas-style clam goo on your ladyboy's chest. You're a monkey scar master with gel fist and yellow-red eyes. Stand fast, buddy. Stand fast with Megacorp thinking against the Groblin Horde and the Dirk Fingerers who malinger near the bandstand and go on junkets to Tormentown and Brown Castle, if you know, you know. And if you haven't been that part of San Francisco, you don't know nothing about the Brown Castle. U-Biz blesses the Arc Forger, coming lessons of slack-eyed kung fu traveling at you, Mega Man. You will be done, son, with dog monkey caravans powered by Indian Pharma and weird ginks with connections to Obama and Sideways Sally Wyoming-style butt pizza miracles, where we go one, Mega Man, we go all. Q transmits this message right to your deep reptilian brain. Sleevix, where General Oot is looting the Scooter Kings of Madison Square Gardens, deep, deep, deep inside your subconscious Megacorp, eating land crab and wrestling hookers. The future is now. It's here. Your mega job is now to mega move faster than light to the fright zone in quadrant beta alpha reticuli. You can have mega coke there. You'll get mega cancer there. The mega 1200 laser will seal up your mega butt hurt asshole for good. Now, of course, if you join Megacorp, you get a Megacorp t-shirt You get a bag to put the loot in. You get a hammer because it's the only tool you know how to use, fool. And it's great for taking shit apart, and you know what I mean, buddy. It's great for looking in all the cracks and all the crannies. There's a lot of stuff hidden out there, Mega Man. You join the Mega Corps, if it's not nailed down, you just have to give Papa Blumpity Glump a cut. And you could call it Doge, or you could call it Mega Corps, but it's beyond imagination. Your space fleet is taking off in 5 minutes. Are you ready, Hooker King? You can take all your bling and your radio transmitters. You can take your phone when you're all alone and put it right up there. Way, 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 way up in the darkness, the place where the doctor says you need to get a check every year after 45. Way, way, way beyond the scope of alien travel and time pyramids and the forgotten mysteries of the ancient grunk people. Beyond the limits, beyond the time barrier, Megacore looting will go on forever. We will build Megacore 1. We will convert all of the solar matter within our solar system into a super Dyson-style monkey cruck fuck starship. We will wrap the sun in a thruster control mechanism. We will craft all the planets into parts of the ship. The ship will be probably about 1 billion miles long. And we'll travel at half the speed of light, and we'll scare the fuck out of people. Traveling past Type Zero civilizations in Megacore 1. With the solar mass of our solar system, all of the asteroids, all of the fucking, the, you know, out there in the Kuiper Belt, way out there in the Oort cloud, we'll grab all the comets and the water, we'll shove it all into a giant fucking spaceship called Megacore 1, and then we'll start traveling through the solar system with one simple philosophy. If it's not nailed down, if the ownership is ambiguous, you can grab it, you can take it, just make sure Papa Glumpity Glump gets a cut. And then Papa Glumpity Glump, by the year 5500, will be a robot cyborg in charge of the ship, billions of people ordering Uber Eats. Even with the famous robot Elon Gusky Tusk and his Hyperboop, it'll take years, years upon years upon years, maybe up to 100,000 years. And no, probably it'll take a while without teleportation. My point is, you'll want to travel from one end of the ship to the other, and it could take years. So you'll stay put, and you'll order Uber Eats, and you'll watch that show about life on Earth on Blu-ray. So yeah, I'm joining Megacore. You know, I'm going to be part of the solution in the ironic sense. And if you understand that your bright side, your best case, is that Trump is still smoke, but there's a slightly deeper interpretation, that Trump is our Boris Yeltsin. If you can at least, you know, wrap your fucking head around that, that is as happy a fucking ending as you're going to get at this point. I personally think it's way fucking worse. But yeah, best case scenario, Mr. and Mrs. Optimist, is Boris Yeltsin's about to carve up the country in a prelude to a, you know, Soviet-style collapse. It'll rhyme. It's not in the same sequence. It's not the perestroika, glasnost, Gorbachev fuckfest that leads the Yeltsin. It's more like they decided to package a Gorbachev and a Yeltsin and a couple other crazy-ass sideways motherfuckers into one type of make-believe person. And this person carves things up and gives it away until people realize they're being ripped off, and that might take a couple years, and then the whole thing falls apart. If you're an optimist, if you're a positive thinker, this time next year, Papa Glumpity Glump might be asking Texas and Pennsylvania and the various Dakotas, anywhere there's, you know, fracking oil, He might just say, that oil's everybody's oil. And you know why? Because it's not nailed down. And the ownership is ambiguous. And we're putting it into a giant basket called the National Endowment. And you're going to get your Social Security checks and we'll pay off the debt. Because who wouldn't carve up everything to pay off their debt? Unless they're mobsters, right? Because that's the other part of the story for the optimist. And I started talking about this 10 years ago. In various ways. The other side of the story is that this could be like Goodfellas. The United States is like the restaurant. They have ripped off as much as they can steal. They have stolen everything they can. If it's not nailed down, they grabbed it. And now they're grabbing what they can. Because what comes next is you set fire to the restaurant. Yeah. Somebody said, Gusky Gusk resigned. How do you resign from a make-believe job? The government efficiency thing should have hit everybody like an ironic bullet from the very second it was proposed. But the thing is, people need the bright side. They can't look at the sky. They don't want to ask questions about why there's not so many insects getting hammered on their windshields. They certainly don't want to have other types of weird conversations about the snow and about the seashore and about a bunch of other fucking stuff. They'd rather play pretend. People want to play pretend. That's why this works. You could probably puff up. You know, there was this, I think, Black Mirror episode where basically an intelligent emoji ends up ruling the planet. And it's absurd, okay? At first, the human plays it, so it's really just a drone doji, just a created three-dimensional cutesy figure. But then eventually, the AI learns how to do it, and you don't need the person. Between the team and the AI, it runs for the presidency, right? It wins. That's also Papa Glumpity Glump. But I think it's worse, folks. Maybe I was wrong about exactly 5 years, but I think that it was about 5 years of the bullshit, and then at some point it would become quite real, and I think we're almost there. But Dan, you're mean. People, Trump's going to save us. Trump was never going to do that. If you don't have the attention span to keep track of where Elon Musk, Gusky Gus allegiances have been over the last 20 years, if you're not old enough to understand that, if you're just a little kid, then let me explain this to you. Gusky Gus was going to go where he needed to go. The best interpretation that you can come up with from a moral perspective that he's just smoked too. He was smoked just like Trump. But who knows? Maybe he is part of that Boris Yeltsin universe, and maybe we're about to go through that. Hey, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Do you blame the clouds for the rain? Or the rain getting you wet? Do you blame the casino when you lose money on a bet? Do you get angry because the car failed you and you weren't there yet? One day, the sun will set. One day, it'll be a red giant. It'll grow so big, making nothing but iron. It will fill the sky. And, you know, if there are people there, if you were there billions of years from now, right? Whatever. Maybe 300 million years, who knows? You'll die. One day. But do you blame the storm for the wind? Do you blame the wind for the tree falling on your house? Do you blame the hurricane for the flood or for the flood washing everything away? Do you blame the clouds for the rain or the rain for getting you wet? Now, I'm not saying I have an answer. Every person I've ever met that's not a sociopath suffers from the disease of having a soul. And one of those things that happens when you have a soul is you will shake your fist. If you don't believe in God, you'll shake your fist at just reality. You'll shake your fist at the stone that stubs your foot. My dad used to damn everything to hell. You know, if something happens with a chainsaw, God damn it to hell. I feel like half the shit in hell is probably due to my dad's cursing. And that's what cursing is, right? Cursing isn't using bad language. Cursing's a negative prayer. A curse, like, you know, is basically directed at a person or a group. Sometimes it's directed at yourself. And it's a negative prayer. And, you know, since the Redeemer arrived and left and comes back again, but since that happened, The cursing's frowned upon if you're a Christian. You shouldn't do it. But a lot of Christians think, you know, the word fuck is a curse. And this is a curse against them, really. If you wish somebody dead, you can use the most polite language ever, and you're cursing. Did you know that? Do you blame the wars on God? Do you blame cancer on God? Do you blame Trump on God? Do you? Do you blame the deprivations and the failures of humans to not even listen to their contemporaries who said, you better stop? You blame that on God, people not listening. Do you? Do you blame the fact that people prefer to pretend there are no clouds and there is no rain and you never have to worry about floods? Do you blame your parents for participating in a reality post-World War II Americana that created the simulation that nothing bad happens, even though under the surface, if you went to the right part of the country and you got past the fourth wall, what you would have found out is that was a lie too, but it was always a lie. Do you blame your parents, your grandparents? Do you blame them too? I can't speak to the issues of humanity beyond what I've experienced. And I have a hard time forgiving. So there are people who've crossed me, and they've crossed me in such ways that if I confronted them, I'd feel like I'd want to kill them. And I've been honest with God about that. And I've been honest in my podcast. I don't want them dead. I wouldn't do it. Not really. I wouldn't actually kill them. But there are people who've hurt me in ways where I felt like it. And there was a time in 2016 when I was convinced I would do something if that moment arose, whatever. But the reality is I can't really blame the person. I can't. I can think the guy's a scumbag. I can think he's a shithead. I can think a lot of these people who've ended up in my orbit in the last 10 years are pieces of crap, but I really have a hard time blaming them because I do not know the truth. It's like the clouds and the rain. If you lived 40,000 years ago, where the universe for a human was about how far they could walk in a day? If you live way back when, even before we domesticated animals, way back when, okay? You might look upon the rain and the clouds and place blame. You might. In your worldview, these things are just like you. They make choices, okay? And so you would point a finger and say, curse you, cloud. Curse you, river, for flooding and killing my kids. Curse the tiger for eating my baby. Curse that weird thing that happened where my grandpa got all feverish and then died. You would. You'd blame the clouds for the rain, and you'd blame the rain for being wet. And at some point, if we become adults, we have to break free of that. And if you see it in purely biblical terms, the reality of the Old Testament was almost that simplistic. It was more or less, oh my God, there's a flood, so God must hate me. And in reality, I think the Lord tried to explain on multiple occasions that things just kind of happen. And he had people help him. One of them, you know, was King Solomon. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, some people think he had a big part in writing Proverbs. But let's talk about Proverbs for a second. Can we, buddy? You notice the title of the book is not sins. The title of the book is not, you know, don't be a retard. The title of the book is not mean. It's called Proverbs. Another way of putting it, it's good advice. But if you don't follow the advice, you're not necessarily in a state of sin. In reality, it just could lead to bad outcomes. And that is life, folks. You know, clouds have rain. Rain is wet. There are consequences here. This is not Eden. Okay? Could we, and I've said this so many times, could we live in a garden? Sure. We could, but we would have to embrace freedom, and most people are just too fucking scared. We can achieve a garden. We are never going to make this paradise. And the more we want to make it paradise, the more we're turning it into a fucking landfill. And yeah, skies that look like a fucking landfill. So I would say we could be different, but we're not. Rain is wet, but people need to pretend it isn't. And yeah, you can also pretend that magical grocery store has magical little, I don't know, elves that put the food together for you. 24/7. Little elf people making you ice cream, making you salmon burgers, making you soy milk somewhere in the back, right? That is your Potemkin reality, folks. Especially if you live in a city. I live in a town. I can order Uber Eats. I can get myself some fortune cookie style, Chinese food. And guess what? If one day that's not possible, I don't think that day is too far off. I could just blame anything, right? I could blame the president. I could blame my neighbors. I could definitely blame God. I could blame the devil. I could do all the blaming I wanted to, and it would not help me get a spoonful of food into my mouth at all. And that's not to say that it's wrong to shake your fist at God. I think the Lord prefers us to not be lukewarm. And when you shake your fist at God, you're basically recognizing his authority. And if you don't believe in God, it's okay to shake your fist at the stone and to shake your fist at the cloud. And if a tiger eats your baby, yeah, if you want to hold a grudge against tigers, you can do that too. And it isn't necessarily a sin either, but I can tell you this straight up, it isn't going to help you. Do you blame the clouds for the rain, or the rain for getting you wet? I think Dr. Freckles knows one or two things that I'd put on a fucking t-shirt. So the last topic for today relates to another one of these, what I call logistics stories. And it's a headline from Zero Hedge. If you're come back to me, especially if you're one of the troll artists sending me a billion emails a day, if you come back to me is, why do you quote Zero Hedge? Because everything else, this is like the Winston Churchill quote. Zero Hedge sucks. Every other news source sucks more. That's the truth. It sucks. It's a crappy source, except for everything else. So I'm going to read the headline and then briefly talk about it. U.S. warns Mexican beef imports may halt next week over flesh-eating fly crisis. Murder hornets from Sector 47 Charlie are moving on Dallas, crossing the borders. All of the beef hoarders, they're firing hawk missiles at these gigantic flesh-eating flies, but they can't knock them out of the sky. The stuff you see sprayed was meant to control flesh-eating flies getting laid. But the battle is over, and the flesh-eating flies have defeated us. Like Michael Caine, a scientist who uses too much, crack. We got your back, Karen Ross. Or Catherine Ross, really. Yeah. I do not know the truth. I started seeing these stories, and it is a little bit non-linear. I saw these stories starting about 10 years ago, but maybe it was once or twice a year. And then in 2019 and 2020, it was like every fucking week. Every fucking week, a magical fucking thing. The monkey herpes only accelerated it. Before the monkey herpes, they had some crazy people, Earth Firsters, set fire to the food processing plant. A whole bunch of chickens caught fire and exploded. And the story seemed dumb. It's like the thought experiment. It's not much of a thought experiment, but everyone's sort of focused on the issue of auditing the Fed and is there gold at Fort Knox. My question is there any fucking cheese in the National Cheese Cave? Because I hate to break it to you, you need food. Gold is nice to have, but you don't need it. You need food. You need food, you need water, you need shelter. I would argue another one of the cornerstones is liberty, because it's simply the only healthy state for a conscious being. You restrict the liberty, you basically are dooming yourself. You need food, water, shelter, liberty. You can throw in air that's breathable, right? You don't need gold, okay? Some people need cigarettes, and this is some advice, folks. I don't want to buy gold. Then buy a lot of tobacco and store it someplace safely, in some sort of, situation where the humidity issues don't impact it. But even though people don't need cigarettes, they're going to act like they do. No one is going to act like they need your gold, really, I'll be honest with you. If it's the scenario I think is coming, your physical gold, your physical silver can help you. But no. That's why they do these stories. That's why the Cheese Cave is way more likely to be sacked, even though both could be, but it's just as likely to be sacked as Fort Knox. Because at some point, that cheese is going to be more valuable than gold, than physical silver. It sounds insane. But brothers and sisters, when I was in college, they told me food had become magically an inferior good. In economics, there's three types of good: inferior, normal, and luxury. An inferior good is something anybody can get. Like, supposedly, it's the 20th century, Dan. Everybody gets clean water. Yeah. Dan, it's the late 20th century. Magically, everybody more or less can eat here. And that's been basically true since the Norman Borlaug miracle of taking out the nutrition to give us more carbs. It's basically been true. There's been plenty of garbage at the grocery store and a little bit of food. Lots of garbage, a little bit of food. But the garbage is going away too, folks. It's like the conversation about, well, I don't want welfare people using their EBT food stamp cards to buy garbage food. Well, the problem is, RFK Jr., at some point in the near future, the only food at the grocery store will be technically processed, canned, bagged, long-term designed garbage food. So basically, it's a very fancy way of saying the poors don't get to eat. Oh, sorry for shocking you, Mr. and Mrs. America. This story could be true. There could be flesh-eating flies going everywhere. I mean, one of the things we need to be sensitive to is that if it's an uncomfortable question to ask this question, why do people need air conditioners in Western Washington? Then another thing to think about is the fact that, yeah, there are creatures that could not live here in the United States up until about 20 years ago. And now this is looking like a place they can live. It's like the Burmese python. It's our own anarchist with a Bic lighter. People have been tossing their exotic animals in the Everglades for decades. Hell, there was a crazy captain, sea captain, about 100 years ago who decided to import monkeys from Africa. There are still monkeys in Florida, and they have herpes. So people have been dumping exotic creatures in the Everglades forever. That's not the question. You all act like the hobo with the Bic lighter is the question. No, dummy. The question is, why all of a sudden, in the last 20 years, can Burmese python live and thrive in the Everglades? That's a harder question, brothers and sisters. Sorry. So yeah, this flesh-eating fly bullshit could be true. Who knows? It is Wednesday. You've all been inducted into the Megacore subsection of the Boblimp Doc kidney-style, dicey, knifey warriors of Grinkin time. You know what to do. Grab two bags. Fill one with doorknobs. Leave the other one empty for all the loot you'll find. You're in Megacore. You know the deal. If it's not nailed down, if ownership is nebulous, get your friend Buster Brown and the other oligarchs of Sector 19. Don't be too mean. The heroes of World War II will want their pension checks, but the good news for you is that all of them here are gone, so it's not 1995, really. It's different for us this time. And if they can take all of the stuff and put it into a pile and call it the National Endowment, then you're probably gonna get, you know, still get your Social Security check for a while. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.